Morning.
Morning.
I want you to turn to Nehemiah, chapter 1. And while you're turning, I want to tell you about two folks we need to pray for and read a card. Okay? Thank you for all your prayers for Christopher and our family. May God bless you all. From Brady Marie Phillips, Melody Sorensen, Meredith Watkins, and Bobby and Paulette Robinson, the family of Christopher Phillips. So I'll put that up back there on the bulletin board. Liz Mosley, you might have saw the cars wrecked on WJLE. One of the girls, 16 years old, Liz Mosley. Keith and Megan are her parents. Pray for them. She's in Vanderbilt. Okay, and then a little baby, Harvest Grace, was born with a lot of difficulties. Pray for her. We're going to put them on the prayer list. So at this time, why don't we just pray if you would bow your heads. Father, we thank you for another time to pray. We thank you for all the presence and power that you've given us this morning. Lord, we pray you'd be with Liz Mosley. Lord, I don't know her personally, but there are some here that do. And Lord, we pray that you touch her body and give her strength. Lord, be with those that have anything to do with her, doctors and nurses, the tests, the machines. We just pray your hand would be in everything. And then, Lord, this little girl, Harvest Grace, we pray you bless this one, Lord, through this time in her life. Just pray you give her the things that she doesn't have physically. Lord, bless her family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you to turn to Nehemiah. We've been talking about Ezra last week and talking about building the temple and the walls. You've heard me say, and I think some folks are coming around learning more about this. We're going to do it on Wednesday night. Got it on the website if you want to get on that, the last four sermons. So we'll be keep on doing this series. But they built the temple. Solomon's temple was destroyed. All the city of Jerusalem, the walls, was burnt and torn down. And Ezra had a decree from Cyrus, last Sunday's message, to go back and build the temple. It took 46 years to build that temple. And then years later, and it's so hard to calculate years, you think you trust some folks in commentaries and you add it up and you just say, we'll just generalize on that part. But the temple was built, which restored the presence and the worship of God. That's us. We're temples of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Amen. And when we're saved, we have the presence of God, and we're able to worship spiritually, aren't we? And this is for a lot of folks as old as me or older, because after some years after the temple was built, Nehemiah went back to build the walls and the gates. It was rubble and ruin. There's a lot of folks that there's no doubt they're saved. They feel the presence of the Lord. They worship God every day. But the walls, the gates, their life is rubble and it's ruined. We live in the United States right now, of America. Our Constitution, our reputation as a godly nation, and it's true. That's how we were founded, weren't we? That is settled. But we sure have problems with the walls and the standards and the gates told them. Somebody, just like Nehemiah, needs to obey the Lord and begin maybe in their family, their community, wherever we're at, and restore those walls. We won't get into it a whole lot today. You probably won't even get out of chapter 1. What we need to realize is that there's stages of life. We had the grandkids over Saturday, and somewhere between Lily and Cocoa Melon, I came up with some good notes and understanding. I tell you. But I thought about them, different ages, from 2 to almost 8. They've got different stages just in those four kids. They're going to have different stages in life, and you know, every time there's a stage, there's going to be somebody else influencing them. I want to be around when they get older. I want to feel like I can help them with their getting married, maybe, and where they're going to live, things like that. But if we take the Bible, and we are, the ones that built the temple didn't build the walls. A lot of churches through history, a lot of the generation before did a lot. And the ones that are here now, they weren't there. And the ones that were there to build the first part, they're not here to build now. So somebody has to stand up. Because there's stages, there's things that needs to be done. We need to understand what God tells us. And we need to realize that there's a temple. But then there's standards, morally and spiritually. And it doesn't do any good to make laws and build walls before there's a temple. Because they couldn't be spiritual. So we're in the right order. We're in the right scriptures. What we need to do this morning is continue just to let the Lord lead us. And He has, and He will. The church I was at for 16 years, I did what I could. And some folks will say, that's good. And others go, I mean, that's just the way it is everywhere. Somebody else is there now, and they're not doing what I did. They're doing what God wants them to do. But He's putting it together. The older you get, the more you see this. But for sake of the message this morning, the temple's finished. Salvation is done. It's complete. But the walls need to get built back up. I want to ask you if you would bow your heads as we pray again. Father, we thank You for Your love, Your power, Your salvation. And Lord, we pray You'd help us to see Your word. Oh, this has meant so much to me, and the things that I'm going through right now, it's just right for me. May it be just right for somebody else, and help us to realize that, Lord, it's You that we answer to. It's You that gives us the word. Most of all, it's You that gives us the power and the time that we need to wait on You to do the things You call us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Look at verse 1 of chapter 1 of Nehemiah. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakalah, and it came to pass in the month of Chislu, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Jerusalem is where the temple was. Nehemiah was in the palace of a Persian king. Was long way off, miles and miles and miles away. We're going to find out at the last of the book of chapter 1 of Nehemiah that Nehemiah was a cupbearer. There isn't more trusted place to be than a cupbearer. What he did is he tested anything the king would drink and anything the king would eat to see if it was poisonous. And he got really close to the king. Because if he ate a little bit and it was good, then the king could go ahead and eat it. And not be afraid at all that somebody was trying to kill him. But in the king's palace, far away from Jeremiah, we look at the history just a little bit, and we probably understand that in captivity, after Babylonian destroyed the temple, Nebuchadnezzar and all that bunch years before the temple was even destroyed, that Nehemiah probably was born in captivity. Probably 50 years old, most people agree. I don't understand if he is or not. But if that's the case, this is the only place that Nehemiah ever knew. And he moved up politically. Not as a politician, but as a Christian, as a God man, as God's helper, so to speak. And he was in the palace. He was well trusted. He was safe. He was secure. He was trusted. He was where God put him. There's nothing wrong with being where God puts us, is there? It's hard to do that, though, especially when you're a young preacher or you're excited and you want to grow spiritually. Hardest thing for a young Christian to do is to stay where God put us. There's a reason, isn't there? There's a reason why we're where we're at. Well, Nehemiah was where he was at. He was born there, probably, and he didn't have any problems. He didn't have any fears. He could eat, probably was important and professional and powerful in his way. But he had a word in verse 2 that somebody back from Jerusalem that came, specifically from Judah, the southern tribe, same tribe that Jesus is out of. And he said, in verse 3, he said, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. He heard some devastating news. A place where his family was, a place where his people were, was torn down and burned up. I don't know what he knew. I don't know if he knew anything much, except that there's a good temple that was built by Ezra. It took this long to build it. They're still worshiping. The presence of God is still there. I don't know that he knew anything else. He didn't have any reason to be disturbed. He didn't have any reason to want to do anything but what he was doing until he heard. There's a lot of folks that are truly saved, that are very safe, very secure, very trusted, until they hear something was going on. Something devastating, something overwhelming, something we didn't expect, something that we didn't see coming. But he says, our people back in Jerusalem are in great affliction and reproach, or they're suffering and in shame because they have a temple, they have a God, they have a worship, but there is no walls and there is no gates. They've been burnt down. I mean, just how far do we go? We've got a church. We've got a good building, don't we? Good, comfortable pews. Got a big old clock. It's that big back there to look at. But we've got it good, don't we? Sometimes we hear things, and they are true. People that are sick, diseased, there's trouble. There's accidents, isn't there? There's things that happen that no matter how secure we are, because of what we hear, devastates us. In the greatest affliction and reproach we ought to have as a church is that we stay in here and never go out there. We believe, we read the Bible, we pray, we sing, we resemble everything everybody else is doing. But what do we believe? Morally, what do we believe? And that could get me in trouble if I start picking my little things that I think is immoral. And you know, immoral is not perverted. It's just not moral. I've said immoral for years, and people think, what are you calling me? Well, immoral means you're not doing moral things, right? It's shallow, but it's deep. And you see, there's a morality. There's a Ten Commandments. It's in the Bible, Exodus 20. There's a Ten Commandments that's in our hearts. There's a conscience that God gives everybody that tells them in their heart through the Holy Spirit what's right and wrong. We got that from Adam and Eve when they ate the fruit. They could see what was right and what was wrong, good and evil, the difference between good and evil. And we've got that. But as long as it doesn't bother us, we're okay in here. We can kind of stand and maybe even vote, maybe even have a party or the other party, and we can kind of not talk to each other sometimes of the year, and we can argue about different things and debate. But if you're a Christian, you need to be moral and spiritual before you're Democrat or Republican. There needs to be some walls, and there needs to be some gates. And if it was biblical, this world would be a whole lot better. But God never called the government to send a revival, did he? It's us. If my people, which are called by my name. Amen. That's it, isn't it? And you see, in that day, you had a man named Nehemiah that had it made, had it good, but it broke his heart. Does it break your heart that we've got grandchildren now that are being taught in school by people that don't know the difference between a man and a woman?
Yes.
They really do. They really do.
Sure.
But it goes against. On all this stuff, the things that we're going through, somebody would say, well, you shouldn't say stuff like that. Well, I don't have a choice. It's real, isn't it? And it's the not being for it, the immoral stuff, the things that go against the commandments of God. Those are the things and rocks and stones and bricks that we build the wall with. And the gate is a good place. Because a wall keeps everything out in that place. But a gate, even though there's walls, can be open and closed sometimes to compromise. But in this particular case, there was no gates, there was no wall. It was burnt, it was ruined, and it was rubble. And where he was at, in his safety, in his security, is where his heart got broken. My kids and grandkids are innocent. They're going to go to heaven. They died young. They have to wait till they get lost to get saved. They have to come to the understanding that, you know, things are different now. And what a day it is when they come to that. Oh, my goodness. That's what happened to Nehemiah. Not that he was lost or saved, but there came an understanding day. That the time everything was good and right, all of a sudden he got news that he believed. He wasn't there. And isn't it amazing the children even, that aren't even really understanding what lost is or morality or anything, that a little heart can get so convicted. It brings them out of that safety and that security. And they can begin to understand something was not right. And we've talked to them and talked to them. It might take years. My son started at 4 years old and got saved at 12. We go home and I'd say, oh my goodness, I sure thought somebody was coming. And that little 4-year-old boy in the back seat would say, it's me, Daddy. It's me, Daddy. When he was 12, he got it right. He's got 4 kids now. And we're praying for him. But the biggest thing this morning that I want to impress before we move on is all the stuff that happened to Nehemiah happened where he was at. He didn't have to go anywhere. He didn't have to check it out. He didn't have to do anything because he believed the report that he got. Isn't God's word believable? Amen. Isn't the report and the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings to our lives, isn't it true? Isn't it right? Amen. And we can go to people and we can say, well, is this really bad? Or is this really wrong? Or like people, show me in the Bible where it says this is wrong. We covered that a couple weeks ago, didn't we? For he that knoweth to do wrong or evil, and he that does it, to him it's sin, James 4:17. That's the definition. That covers it all. People know, don't they? And you see, wherever you're at this morning, whatever age you are, whatever stage of life you're in, God's word is where it comes to disturb our hearts. We have stuff happen at work every day, and it's never, never, never our fault, but it's always our problem. Things happen in the world that we didn't have anything to do with. We didn't start it, but it's our problem. We didn't cause it. We wasn't a part of it. We need to do something about it. And because we have a temple, and because we have worship, and because we feel the presence of the Lord, we need to consider what the walls mean. Look at verse 4. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. The first place we go is to God. God's the one that got me where I was at. And while he's got me where I'm at, that's the place to go because he's right there. He's right there, isn't he? God sent him word. He believed the word. It devastated him. He sat down and wept and mourned and fasted and pray to God. Verse 5 says, and I said, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him, observe his commandments. Let thine ear now be attentive and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, my servants, thy servants. And I pray thee, therefore, now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which have sinned against thee, both I and my father's house. He confessed the sin of Israel. And if you just read over that, you won't get to understand what it means. He wasn't guilty, but he was part of the people. He was part of the children of Israel. And always would be. And what this means to us is we need to confess, not because we've sinned, or not because we know somebody else has, but we need to agree to God in prayer, what is sin? What is sin? Murder? Right? We got those down, don't we? How we treat kids at school, why don't they come up with that a little bit? That's wrong, isn't it? There's a lot of things in building a wall that we need to confess and agree with God that it's wrong. Because what we'll do is, well, that's not really that bad. And he believes this and he believes that. Let's have a debate and let's vote on it. No, God puts in our heart what's right and what's wrong, what's evil and what's wicked. Doesn't he? And we need, as children of God, to even begin to do anything is go to God first where we're at and confess. Make a confession of what's right and wrong. Go down the list. Every time you see something, hear something. It's wrong for a man to look like a woman and a woman to look like a man.
Amen.
Simple, isn't it? That's a confession. Lord, it's wrong for me to look at another woman with lust. That's a confession. Lord, I agree with you. That's wrong. Does everybody understand where we're going? Amen. And you take the alcohol, you take the drugs, you take everything that's coming up in our society, our world, our state, our community. And we get it settled before God, before we go anywhere else, that it was the Lord himself that told me in my heart, without a doubt, that is wrong. We weep, we're devastated, we're overwhelmed because it's burned down, it's rumbled, the walls are. But as it lays there, and as it's ruined, we need to walk by and pray by and say, this right here is wrong, Lord. I can't be a part of that. If we ever obey that, this would be a really good place to live, wouldn't it? Wouldn't be all the chaos, there wouldn't be debate, there wouldn't be two or three sides. But what he did is he confessed that we've let this go. We've got a temple. We've got a presence in again. And it used to be there. It used to be a good temple, Solomon's. It used to have the walls, the gates. It was beautiful. And it's been destroyed. We got some of it back. I've got my heart because I'm saved. But we don't have the walls. It's settled, isn't it? That we're saved. The Holy Spirit's inside of us. But God uses different people at different times for different things. Those folks that was here 40 years ago that aren't here anymore, they did a good work, didn't they? They're finished. Some water, some plant, and God gives an increase, doesn't he? No one that I know of does the whole work by themselves when they're in this world, do they? It's true and evident in the scripture, isn't it? The temple was built. It was finished. It was years and years and years. There needs to be a wall. Well, Ezra couldn't do it. The folks back there couldn't do it. They're probably gone. What about us right now today? We've got a lot that's already been done for us. Some of y'all was a part of it. Some of us are still waiting to do a little bit more. But God uses different people at different times to do a work. And once it's settled that the temple's built, once it's settled that we're Christians and we're saved and we're earnestly overwhelmed with the sin, that we agree with God that sin. And if you agree with God that it's sin, you will be overwhelmed. If we see sin like God sees sin, the only result as a Christian with the Holy Ghost inside of us is overwhelming devastation. Isn't it? That's the only thing we could ever feel. And that has to come first. Before I talk to anybody about salvation, this is what they need to have, whether I know it or not. It's what I had. Before I went and talked to the preacher at all, I felt devastated. The Lord God took me at 11 years old and let me see that I was lost. There's no hope. I needed him. It starts with salvation, and we've got that. We've got the temple inside of us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We've got our Constitution. We've got our Ten Commandments in our world. But we're not there yet. Time for us right now. Those that has had a temple for maybe 50 years without any walls. Folks are a little bit older, a little bit more content. in a safe place and protected and saying it's time for the young ones to, let's let them do it. It might not be right. You might not be finished yet. It might be this time for you to do what the Lord's put on your heart, to build where you're at. It was a lot of years. It's been a lot of years of people that used to, when they were younger, be more active. They read their Bible every day. They prayed. They didn't miss much. Like going to concerts and all the things. It was a good deal. But you get older, things don't work anymore. It's easy to stay home. And believe me, there's some people that I've met here. Some of y'all are here today. Well, amazing. What a witness to even get here on Sunday morning. Isn't it? It's not difficult for others to look and not understand. I look at people when I was younger, I messed up as a preacher. I see it different now. I see the real saints. I see the people that really are showing me their faith just by showing up on Sunday morning. But with all that said, there was a result from what he heard. He prayed to God. He confessed. Verse 7, he says, "We have dealt very corruptly against thee and have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the judgments which thou commanded thy servant Moses." The Ten Commandments, the moral law. He says, we haven't dealt anything but corruptly with what you've told us to do. I mean, I could preach that this morning and somebody say, well, where have I sinned? I've not done this. I've not done that. Yeah, we've let it happen. We're guilty, aren't we? In a way, in a part, to some degree, we have to confess what sin is, and we have to confess that it's partly our fault. And we need to take our fault when it comes to this, whatever amount it is. Verse 8, he says, "Remember, I beseech thee, the word that thou commandest thy servant Moses, saying, if ye transgress, I will scatter you abroad among the nations. But if ye turn unto me and keep my commandments and do them, though there were of you cast out into the uttermost part of the heaven, yet will I gather them from thence and will bring them unto the place that I have chosen to set my name there." After all the devastation and all the overwhelming emotions that Nehemiah had, he went back to the promise that God promised Moses. God said, if you disobey my commandments, I'm going to scatter you. They did. They got scattered, didn't they? God held them accountable. But the greatest thing that Nehemiah held to is what we do. He went directly to the promise. But if we obey, no matter how bad we were, no matter how scattered we were, if we obey your word, you're going to bring us back, gather us back together. Wouldn't it be good if people would take the political parties out and gather together as Christians? Why don't we have things in common? Why don't we believe like each other? Because it's more political than it is spiritual. That's easy to see, isn't it? They don't want to do this because they have power and they make more money. You know, God sees through all this. God sees through every individual heart of every politician, every preacher, every person. And he sees exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. And we have to come up with God's standard. When he sees his people obeying, he'll gather us together. And I think he starts a little bit here, a little bit there, grows bigger, 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 bigger. Because it's the standards, it's the commitments, it's the moral law that we start out and we all agree. We all believe. Other folks that believe and agree will join that same understanding and get together and we go stronger. And because God is gathering us and not us, we don't have to have anything but faith that he'll bring the right people in. Because he's the one that's gathering together. When we gather and we decide and we judge, you can see why churches have so many problems. Not just churches, but communities and everything else. But tonight, or today, I mean, we need to get busy. And we are, aren't we? The Lord's been building stuff here for a long, long, long time. And I'm just now coming in and being a part of it. We want to be here. We want to do what God wants us to do. We want to live on the promises. We don't want to interfere with the Holy Spirit's work as a church or individually. But the most important thing, look at verse 10. Now these are the servants of thy people, whom thou hast redeemed by the great power and by thy strong hand. O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thy ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant and to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, thy servant, this day, and grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. Now all this whole chapter, and overwhelming as it is, and instructive as it is, he was leading up to one thing, and that was it. I'm going to face the king. And that's what I need help for. I'm not just thinking about this. I'm not just studying about this. It's not a dream of mine that I've always wanted to do. Oh God, I need you to help me, because where I'm at right now that you call me to do, I can't do it where I'm at. I'm not in Jerusalem. I'm under the hire of the king of Persia. I'm his cupbearer. I trust him. And he didn't know at all what would happen after this, did he? And all he prayed was, Lord, help me to find mercy in this king's sight. And I'm going to stop there. I want to keep going, but we'll do this next week. We'll finish this. But this morning, the very first step as a church, as a Christian, as a citizen, is we got to realize where we're at and where we're not. I used to have a lot of great thoughts and a lot of great things I really want to accomplish before I go. Some of them I think I've done, and some of them I don't even know if I can even try anymore. Maybe too late. But whatever it is that God has for me to do, and whatever God has for you to do, it's okay. It's time. Any other time before this, the years after the temple was built, the years that it was another man's responsibility to build the temple, it was not Nehemiah's. There's things people done, it wasn't my responsibility. There's things that happened before I was here or before I was born. Right here and right now, if the Lord has something for us to do and he's beginning to call on us, we can't do it where we're at. We've got to have him work things out for us to be where we need to be. The first place we need to be is the spiritual thing. Between me and God, and God and me. God, I want to do what you want me to do. I've heard about the walls. I've heard about the gates. And before that, there was no problems in my heart. But now, I can't get away from it. Can't get through it. Something's got to be done. Is there something in your heart this morning? Number one, that never goes away. That I need to do this. Get saved. You know, God draws us, doesn't he? He's the one that seeks to save those that are lost. Before anybody ever talks to anybody, God's already talked to them. God's already convicted them. God's already broken them down. But they can't do it where they're at, because the Spirit's not there. The understanding's not complete. And they need somebody to help them. Well, where do you get that, preacher? Well, I'll start with the Ethiopian eunuch. He said, how can I understand without a man? Somebody might need to talk to somebody and just answer questions. When I was growing up, we'd get before we were saved, we'd get picked up by a lot of people, older folks. Well, what do you think? You know? Things like that. It might be that you know you're saved, but there's one thing. And I don't know what it is, and I'm not trying to put stuff in any way or anything like that. But until we do something, will never have any peace. When I was surrendered to preach, I went through this. The churches that I pastored before, I went through this before I came to Dry Creek. Lord, you've got to make it clear. And you know, the older we get and the more trouble we've had, the harder it is to surrender. I wish we'd have came here first. It was rough the other two places. Devastating. But we couldn't do it where we was at. I mean physically. Because our spirit wasn't right. And Nehemiah had the spirit, but his body was committed to the king. My spirit was willing to preach, but my flesh was weak. I'm going through it now with retirement. That's not a big deal like the other ones were. I want to pastor. I want to do a lot of things, but you know I can't do it where I'm at. I mean, from 4:30 in the morning, from the time I get up to almost 7 at night, I'm doing stuff for Nissan. I don't want to do that, but I got to wait on it. Whatever it is that the Lord's building, we got to give him time. But there's going to come a time when he says, this is it. It's time. It's time to get saved. It's time to lead people. It's time to get away from the immoral things and come face to face with the truth and the spiritual love that God has for us. And I can tell you the biggest problem right now that's going to hold everybody back. We don't call sin like God does. I can still do this, and then I can do this. This isn't really bad, and I won't even talk to those people. Because when we really get overwhelmed like we're supposed to with Nehemiah, the hardest part is the very beginning. And you say, Lord, it breaks my heart that our people, God's people and Nehemiah's people, we're over here, they're worshiping, they got a temple. So what a reproach it is for it to look like that. With God's temple rebuilt, Solomon's temple rebuilt, and the beauty that it is, and it's got trash everywhere down in the front of it. How sad it is for folks to say, I'm saved and I'm a Christian, but folks see the rubble and they see the trash, don't they? It's true of all of us. And the only thing it's meant to do is help us to understand that God needs that out of there. He needs it cleaned up first. And then he needs it built back. You can't build until you clean up. And this morning, my desire is for us to clean up the best way that we can. Pick up where we left off last time. And realize that there's a building going on here. It's been going on, hasn't it? There's folks that did things years ago. There's folks that are doing things now. But whatever it is we need to do right now, we need the Lord, don't we? We need his power. We need his strength. And it's a process, isn't it? It takes a while. It takes an understanding. Oh, but how good it is when we surrender. Nehemiah surrendered here, and we'll talk about that next week. But he got a lot of things took care of before he left. And I don't know where you're at this morning, but we're going to stand in just a minute. We're going to pray. If you need to come to this altar and meet with the Lord, please, please do. If you need me to help you, I can pray with you. But before we go today, we need the best thing we can do is respond to God's word the way he wants us to respond. And like I've told you many times, my prayer is I'll preach to you for a little while. And then I pray what I preach to you, the Lord will keep preaching the rest of the week because it was him all the time. It wasn't me, after all. I want you to stand this morning.